Scripture lesson today is from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of the day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, over the next couple of weeks, I'll be out. I'm thankful for Pastor Marcia. She'll be here next week and speaking to us. After that, we'll have a festival of sharing, something we've been a part of at other times during the church. And so we got Festival of Sharing coming the second week, and then the third weekend I'll be here, but Ella Johnson is going to be preaching for us, and so our student who comes up and does announcements, and so she's got something good. I've met with her, and I'm just excited for her, and we'll be here for that, and so those are the things that are coming. It is Father's Day. I'm going to talk about Father's Day. I got to share just a random funny story. Before I do that, though, just annual conference. I was at annual conference, and this is really just a warning to you all, like, is what it is. This is why I got to tell this funny story. I was having lunch with my coach, my professional coach, who is a lot like a fathering type of person to me, is what we're talking about today. And we were eating at an Asian restaurant. The Asian restaurant had something called hot, spicy, hot, crispy fish. Hot, crispy fish. And so, and it had like the 3 pepper rating on it. And I'm like, okay, that's really hot, but I can handle really hot. This is good. I like this. So they bring me this hot, spicy fish. And I'm starting to eat this hot, spicy fish. And it is, in fact, hot. And I immediately notice that it's hot. And I'm like, wow, this is really hot. But all of a sudden, after a little bit, like my mouth gets tingly. And I'm like, well, this is a new sensation. I haven't felt this before. And then after a while longer, my mouth just gets numb. Like it's numb and tingly. And I have like this kind of panic moment because I think, oh, the heat's getting ready to kick in, right? Like this is getting ready to get really bad. Only it doesn't. Like it doesn't get really bad. I keep eating it. It's tasty. My mouth is tingly and numb. And the waitress comes over. I said, this is really good, but really weird. Right? Because right now, my mouth is tingly and numb. And so she cannot speak the language well. So the person who's at the front desk comes over, and I'm like, numb and tingly. Numb. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yes. He goes, you know what that is? I said, no, what is that? He goes, it's Szechuan peppercorns. Szechuan, and you could see them. There are these little peppercorns in the dish that had cracked open. And when they crack open, the heat and the numbing effect comes out. And he's like, yeah, like people love to eat Szechuan peppercorns in hot food because it numbs your mouth. And so as you eat the heat, like you don't notice as much. And so just a warning, like if you ever go somewhere and on the dish it says Szechuan peppercorns, I'm giving it a thumbs down. I'm giving it a thumbs down because I was a little freaked out when I couldn't taste anything in my mouth. So that had absolutely nothing to do with anything, but I just want to share that with y'all today. Yeah, just so you know. So again, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. So glad that you are here. Somebody had told me that Father's Day tends to be one of the lowest attended Sundays of the year, but I don't feel like that's the case here this morning, so appreciate y'all being here. Happy Father's Day to my dad. My dad sometimes watches, and so Dad, if you're watching, happy Father's Day, and I'm going to call you later. I promise, cross my heart, okay? My mom and dad, they raised three boys. I'm the oldest of those three boys. I know it wasn't easy for any of you out there raising three boys. Like, you have my prayers. Because in reflection, nothing about what my parents did with three boys seemed easy, right? Didn't seem easy at all. So my wife and I, we of course opted for one girl. That's easier. That's easier, right? Now also, we've picked up, as you know, a foreign exchange student who just went back home last week. We took her to the airport on Tuesday. She's in Tunisia this morning with her dad, celebrating Father's Day. I would imagine having an exchange student is probably a similar feeling to being a grandparent, right? Because you can love her for a little bit, and then we just send her home, right? To her. I think that's like what grandparents do. You kind of love them for a bit, send them on. So we did that. Fathering can be a lot of fun. It can be a fun deal. Some of my favorite memories are camping trips with Alexis, right? This is one of those camping trips. I remember a trip I took her to when I was in seminary, and we were living in Kentucky, and there were tons of great camping sites around there. Kentucky's beautiful country. I mean, it's the Ozarks. So it's like southern Missouri. It's like northern Arkansas. And so this picture is not of that trip. She's looking a little older here than kindergarten, first grade. I'm guessing that's still elementary school, though. And so when she was about kindergarten, first grade is when we were there. We went camping. We found a place that had these great trails that ran all throughout the area. And as we were walking on one of those awesome trails, we're walking along, Alexis, little kindergarten, first grade, she kind of puts her hand out and says, I think I see a snake, right? And sure enough, I'm glad she stopped me when she did. It was a snake sitting on the middle of the path. Don't know how I missed this baby. It was a couple feet long. Like, it looked like it meant business. So I just took a stick or two, tossed it at it. It slithered away, moved politely off the path, which I appreciate. I'd love to tell you it was some type of poisonous type of snake. I didn't get close enough to find out. I don't know what it was. It was a big snake. It moved along, right? So those are great memories for me. You know, fathering can be fun. It's camping trips. It's hiking. It's playtime and doing fun things like that. Fathering can be hard, too. It can be hard. One of the last things that Mason said to us as we were kind of talking on her last day, she was just amazed that we didn't have more arguments. She's like, we didn't argue that much. Now, we could have argued. Like, we could have argued about a bunch of things, but we didn't. We didn't. That's not Kim and I either. Like, we're just not kind of arguing types. But instead, Kim and I tend to have serious conversations, right? We have serious conversations. And so as a part of fathering Mason, even though I'm not her father, we had serious conversations with her that helped guide her, right, in the decisions that she was making and the things that she was doing. And so Kim and I tried to think, here's what we did. We applied the golden rule. We applied the golden rule. We thought, if our kid went away and she was a foreign exchange student somewhere, how would we want some parent somewhere else to treat our kid? And so that's how we're going to treat her. And so that's what we did. And so it was a joy and an honor to father her, even though she wasn't our kid, even though she wasn't my daughter. And that's because I would say the world will always need men with a fathering spirit about them. Always need men with a fathering spirit. It doesn't matter if you had five kids, if you had one kids, if you didn't have any kids. I had some great guys in my life who were fathering and didn't have any kids. I have one father who raised me, right? I have one father who raised me, and he still continues to father me to this day to some extent. But I was blessed to have many men in my life who fathered me as well. And for many of them, the fathering they provided me for a season, it was just for a season of our lives together. And not maybe not very long season, but kind of a short season. The beginning of my time in ministry was at a United Methodist Church, Ashland United Methodist Church, St. Joseph, Missouri. I was a youth director there. And I was fortunate to have many different men who volunteered for that ministry. And many of those men just had a fathering spirit about them. They were good like that. One of those men, his name was Vince. His name is Vince. He blessed our youth with his fathering spirit. He blessed me with his fathering spirit. I really felt that when I was around him. My very first trip, which you should appreciate, my very first trip to Bennett Springs to learn to fly fish was with Vince. I'd never heard of it. He brought me. We had a great time. He brought all the extra gear for me, solicited his friends to get some stuff. He rented us a cabin down there by the river. And that's when I fell in love with Bennett Springs and fly fishing, was because of my friend Vince here. And even though that was 25 years ago when he took me, Vince and I, we still get together today to occasionally fish. Every year we try to do a day or two trip together. We got together last month. We went to Arkansas, fished in Arkansas for a bit. He brought his grandson along too because he's got this fathering spirit that he blesses his grandkids with now. Now, at the hotel he got for us, he did put his 25-year-old grandson on the extra bed, and he did ask me to sleep on the trundle bed couch, right? The pull-out couch, which I need to confess ended up shortening my trip a bit because it just wasn't happening. Like, I'm kind of a bigger guy for a trundle bed. I gave it my best shot and then didn't want to complain, so, you know, just left. In the middle of the night when I was not sleeping. Just came home early. As much as I enjoy, as much as you enjoy the 2-inch worn out mattress, that wonderful bar across the middle of your back, I just had to take a hard pass on sleeping on that thing all night. Just wasn't happening. So I had been blessed to have this man, Vince, in my life, even though he stuck me on the trundle bed, which I won't forget. But he's done a lot for me. What can I complain about for a man that's done so much to me? I couldn't complain about it. He taught me how to fly fish. Vince would talk to me about money and finances and how to invest and pay things down quicker. He wanted to share that stuff with me. He talked to me about faith. And growth in faith and being a faith person. He talked to me about relationships and marriage, and he was the father of 2 daughters. And so I had talked to him about that before I ever had daughters, a daughter. And that's what's great about men who just have a fathering spirit, is all these things. The things we can learn from older men in our lives doesn't just have to be hunting and fishing in the outdoors. It doesn't have to be those things. It can be arts and cooking and, you know, lawn secrets. Any other gift of knowledge or experience that is passed down from one generation to the next generation. Fathering is about relationship and time and training in life, which we all need. In our teaching passage, I think we also learn a couple of things about fathering from our teaching passage. The lesson comes to us from, like Marcia said, God the Father, right? Father God, happy Father's Day. Father God has some fathering messages for us this morning. In the Old Testament, we see God having many kinds of conversations with his children. Sometimes he reprimands them, and sometimes he encourages them, and it really just kind of depends upon the scenario and the situation that happened. But in our passage, Father God is attempting to instill a sense of something within his children, is his goal here. And I believe we should really pay close attention to what he is doing in this passage. God is showing us an aspect of fathering that I think is crucial. Crucial. It was crucial for the Israelites. It was probably crucial for you at some point in your life. It was absolutely unequivocally crucial, I think, for young people today. Our young people today need to know this message. In all of our fathering to younger generations about fishing or finances or relationships, we don't want to forget God's fathering lesson in Psalm 46 to us today. The psalmist actually doubles down on his lesson. Like, it's the same lesson. He teaches it a couple different ways. The psalmist is utilizing imagery to help kind of drive this great lesson home. He wants you to have an image. And so the beginning of Psalm 46, if you remember, it says this. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. What horrifying imagery to imagine. Hey, if you see an earthquake happen, if you see it, and you see a great mountain just slide off the face of the earth and fall into the sea, remember, God will keep you safe, right? He is your strength in that moment. Just remember that when you see that terrifying thing occur. Amen. Right? Now, if the threat, I was being a little sarcastic though. Like, I was being a little bit like, my gosh, that would be terrifying. And then to see that, just, but that's what he says, right? He says, but just trust in God and all that. Now, if the threat of earthquakes and shifting earth and seas doesn't do enough to strike fear within us, then there's the threat of war, which is kind of the last section of our psalm. Right? It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most Holy High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There isn't anything more reassuring than that, right? Imagine if war broke out in the United States. War breaks out here. An enemy has finally come to our shores, has finally invaded our land. Imagine the fear that we would all experience as a result. How terrified we would all be. Which is probably what it felt like to live in the Middle East 3,000 years ago when you were just waiting for the next army, the next great conqueror to roll on through, and you would catch word of it. It would happen down, the tribe down, and be heading your direction. But the psalmist reminds God's people, don't forget, God lives here. God lives here. God has taken up residence within us in our capital city, and he will keep us safe from our enemies, right? Here's what's interesting. I had to look this up. It's interesting that the psalmist talks about the streams that make glad their capital, Jerusalem, the streams that make glad. You know, there are no streams or rivers that run through or immediately around Jerusalem, right? Which would be helpful to have that kind of water supply easily accessible, but Jerusalem is uphill. Right? It's uphill, and so it would be a real challenge for a stream or river to run uphill, but the psalmist isn't referring to a literal stream. He is referring to God, their Father, who is always their source and supply in any horrible scenario. God is like a stream, he is like a river, right? And so God is our stronghold, he is our fortress, our living water. As Christians, we should know that one. We should remember Jesus talking about being living water. That wasn't a new thing. God is our living water and supply. Amen. He is the provision. He is our safety. When the earth shakes and the mountains fall into the seas, when there are wars and falling nations, God is with us. He's with us. And so this was the message of the psalmist to the people of God. It was the message. It was a fathering voice that supplied a vital fatherly message to children who may have always been fearful of What's going to happen next? Can you relate to that a little bit? What's going to happen next? Sometimes people need to just hear, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I know it doesn't look all right, but as it turns out, God's been doing this for a long time, right? Like this is the business that he's in. And I think with God, I think you're going to be all right too, and you're going to be all right, and you're going to be all right. I think you're going to be all right. And that is the protective, supportive, fathering voice that our young people need to hear today. Our young people need to be reassured when things are especially hard, when they're afraid, that God is with you, it's going to be all right. Y'all know that we live in a doom or gloom world now, right? It's a doom or gloom world. I hope you're spending enough time as a good American watching TV and the news and getting hours and hours of social media a day to know this. Because if you are, then you know that out there, mountains are falling, and they're falling into the seas, and wars are happening, and they're getting closer and closer to home, right? And they could be here any minute. Actually, what I've heard is that the enemy is already here, right? There's already enemies in our midst. Our border is threatened. Our security is threatened, right? All this fear, doom and gloom. And here's what I know, personally, unfortunately. At times, I help perpetuate the message of doom and gloom. I do that because that's what I see, and then that's what I feel, and then that's what I fear, right? And if some of you are honest, you maybe get caught up and perpetuate the doom and gloom too, right? Because it's what you see, and then it's what you feel, and then it's what you fear too. And so you speak it just like sometimes I speak it. But there's another message that we need to remember today, a message that we need to see and to feel and to believe as well. And the message is, it's going to be all right because Father God is here to protect us and to provide for us. Even when the mountains fall into the seas, even when wars are happening on our borders, and church, it's a spiritual message. It's a spiritual message. And it's a message about trust and belief and confidence. That's what it is. Men, let's get our message right. Let's get it right. Let's be careful that we aren't fathering younger people with a message that is anchored in fear and faithlessness. Provide a fathering spirit in the lives of our younger people that anchors them in the everlasting God who always finds a way. Somehow he always finds a way. Since March, I have started visiting a retreat center receiving support from a Catholic monk, of all people, a Catholic monk who lives there, and this man has a fathering spirit to him, is what he has. And at 50 years of age, me being 50, in the world we live in, sometimes, like I said, I very much struggle with doom and gloom in the world that we're living in. Like I've experienced that, I think, a lot here lately. I knew I needed some help, someone who could continue to help me kind of not get sucked up in that. And I hope someday, I hope I hit an age where I don't need that help anymore. Maybe some of y'all can tell me that the age is coming, but I still get sucked up in it from time to time. I still struggle with it. But I'm going to a guy who's 92 years old to provide me with that fathering, trusting voice I know I need to hear and internalize right now. And I had to go on a bit of a search to find the fathering voice that would say to me, It's going to be all right. God's got this. It's going to be all right. And so today, all I want to do is I just want to pass that good message on to you all. Men, I need some help with this message, getting this message out. And to be honest, there are times where I need some help remembering this message myself, too. Okay? All of us, but especially our young people. Especially our young people, they are growing up in a world of artificial intelligence, global warming, global viruses, warring political parties, and a deterioration of the Christian faith in our nation. And I'm not sure which one will wipe us out first, right? I don't know. But my guess is it probably won't be any of them. It probably won't be. My guess is it'll be the fear of what might happen that will wipe us out. That in our fear of what might happen, we'll do something against ourselves that harms us. Just out of our fear, not the reality of it. So I think that's the case unless the oldest amongst us says to the younger, "You are going to be all right. God is with us." Men, you are never too old to share a fathering spirit in a world that desperately needs you and your voice and that godly message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the psalmist, the age-old psalmist, who reminds us and speaks wisdom to us. And so, Lord, we receive that wisdom. Lord, it is a terrifying world. It changes rapidly. There is destruction to one another and destruction to the earth that occurs. And so, Lord, we can very easily get caught up in all of it and fearful of all of it. And yet instead, Lord, we want to be a people that firmly anchors ourselves in you and our trust in you and our faith of you, that you will provide for your people in life and in death. And that is the spiritual message that we desire for the world to know. Help us to know and hear and to experience and feel that message today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.